Well, good morning and welcome as we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. Today I want to share with you a story that happened to me earlier this week that just is really, it's just been on my heart and mind a lot very full. But so Wednesday night, we were kind of moving to make Wednesday night kind of a formation night. And so if you come here, you know what I'm talking about. It's like hard to find a parking place. We got the choir practicing on Wednesday nights, and CYM meets over in St. Dominic on Wednesday. And now we have these Advent book studies that are going. We have 125 people in this book studies, and OCIA and PSR and confirmation classes and all this kind of stuff, just different things going everywhere. And for Advent, I'm hearing confessions from 5:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. And so I went from hearing confessions over to the school, and I was with the confirmation group for a little bit, and then I went over to the OCIA group just kind of at the tail end of their class. And then as I'm walking out of there, just looking at all the book studies in the various classrooms, and then I went from there over to the school or to St. Dominic and caught the end of CYM and was hanging out with the high school kids, and we had probably 40 kids that night. And so I caught them in time where they were doing Lectio Divina, which is Lectio. It's where we get the word this is a lectern. This is a lectionary. It means to read. Lectio means read. Lectio Divina, divine. It's divine reading. It's a way of that's what I do every week when I prepare for the scriptures or for my homily. I do Lectio Divina. I read the gospel, read the readings, and I pray with it. I sit and I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, speak to me. So the CYM was doing Lectio Divina with today's gospel, Matthew chapter 3. And they divided up into, you know, various small groups at tables. And so I sat down on one of the tables, and there's half a dozen kids there with me, and read through the gospel. And then the kids are just kind of talking about, like, you know, what stood out to you? What line, what verse, what scripture kind of caught your attention, and what'd you do with that? And it's very encouraging to hear these kids, 15, 16, 18-year-old kids, be able to hear, to take the gospel, to not just assimilate it, not just hear it, but to re-articulate and then to share back, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is how the Lord is speaking to me through this. I mean, that's a skill set I didn't have until I was in seminary. I nobody taught me that. I did not practice that. I'd never heard that before in high school. So the fact that these high school kids are doing this is great. But even then, like, so I shared my what stood out to me in this gospel, and it's just like almost the harshness of John the Baptist, right? Like, did you catch his words to the Pharisees and scribes? He's pretty firm. So, well, here's what the gospel says today. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, you snakes, what are you doing here? You pit of snakes, why are you here?" And then he says, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" But this line in particular, this next line is really what caught my attention. "Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." In other words, telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, like, you're a pit of snakes. You're slithering in the grass, and you show up on one side, and you have this bright religious face on one hand, but on the other hand, you're empty, right? And so this idea of produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. John was giving this baptism of repentance, and that's why people were coming to him to repent. And so he's saying, okay, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Instead of just showing up and saying, oh yeah, we're here like everybody else. No. Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Now, I can't imagine, like, in confessional, like, that's where my mind goes. If somebody shows up to confession and I just, like, kicking them out, like, calling you snake, what are you doing in here? Why are you coming to confession? Like, in my mind, that's what I'm trying to think of, like, that scenario. I couldn't ever picture myself calling someone a snake in confession. Get out of here. But, I mean, Padre Pio actually did something very similar. Like, the stories go that he sometimes would, like, just straight up yell at people. He'd kick them out of the confession, be like, "That's a terrible examination of conscience. Get out of my confessional. Go back out in the church. Figure out your life and then come back tomorrow." Like, so, I mean, there is a harshness in that. And that's where my mind was stuck, of just like, man, I just couldn't see myself doing that. But this line, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. That's what our table discussion went to that with these high school kids. And just so they were talking about, you know, when we go to confession and you confess the same thing over and over again. And you have your litany of confession, the sins that you've, you know the ones that you just, like, it's still there. And, you know, I'm gossiping and I get into that groove of gossip, or I have a loose tongue in terms of the words that I speak and cuss words and taking the Lord's name in vain. And I know I shouldn't do that, but, you know, it kind of slips out and kind of, you know, but is there repentance? You know what I'm saying? That's the question these kids were asking. And then this is the whole point of why I'm telling you the story. This is the piece that just like made my heart so happy, is one of the kids said, you know, Father, this could be your homework assignment for the week. I was so happy. Like I almost stood up and was like, yes. Why? Okay. Why is that such a big thing? Why does that matter so much? It's because there's evidence that they're coming, and yes, I'm repetitive in that, but there's a reason why, that in terms of pedagogy of teaching, if you hear something one time, if I tell you something one time, maybe it sticks and maybe it doesn't, but it goes in one ear and out the other. But the idea of homework, the idea of doing Lectio Divina before you come to Mass, is there's this repetitive, constant contact with the content of the gospel. That's the whole point of teaching. Like, in terms of teaching, retention of a lesson, I want you to have as many points of contact. That's why we do homework. That's why you take a math class, and then you go home and you work out math problems so that you have multiple points of contact with that content, because then it gets locked in. But the fact that this high school kid said, hey, this could be our homework assignment for the Sunday, tells me that there's points of contact and it's taking root. That is just like, I almost, you know, it's almost like, you know, farmers, like seeing in the spring after you, or when you plant your wheat and you see the first kind of the stubble of wheat starting to grow up, and there's just this excitement of like, it's growing, it's moving, there's something happening here. And if a 16 or 18 year old kid can grasp that, all of us can, right? And that's the idea. That's why I'm tilling the soil. The direction I'm wanting to go is that we can imagine if we had a whole church full of people who could encounter the gospel, be able to take it, to articulate it, apply it to their lives, and make an actionable plan with steps of saying, this is how I'm going to change my life because I've encountered the word in this way. Brothers and sisters, this is the way the Christian faith is supposed to be lived. It's not a matter of beating ourselves up that we're terrible, horrible people, and oh, we're just the beating of the breasts, and we're just awful scum of the earth. That's not the idea. But it is the idea that we do need to repent. We have those places in our lives that are not lined up with God's will, and we have to let that stuff go. Whether it's big or whether it's small, every one of us needs to repent. And that's why the gospel of repentance and Advent, it's a season of repentance, turning from sin. So that is your homework assignment today. Think about your confession. Think about when you go to confession and the thing or things that you confess multiple times, and it's kind of the revolving door, and it's one of those things, maybe I should do something about that at some point. I just haven't got around to it. But your homework assignment is consider one thing that you confess on a regular basis, and then consider one concrete action that you can do to shift that. If you're wasting time, if your life is being sucked away by your cell phone and 5 hours a day or whatever it is of scrolling through Instagram or, you know, whatever the social media, delete the app, for crying out loud. Get a filter on your phone if you're struggling with stuff online that you shouldn't be wasting your time on. Get a filter. That's a concrete action. If you're not making time to pray every day, take out your phone, use it for what it should be used for, with a calendar and a reminder and a siren that goes off at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, shut off the TV, okay, it's time to pray. You're going to take the next 15 minutes. Those are concrete actions, right? So whatever the thing is in your confession, do the opposite of that with a concrete action. That is repentance. That is producing good fruit as evidence of your repentance. That, brothers and sisters, is how we move the needle forward. For the love of all that is good and holy, do not stay stuck. Advent is a time where we move closer to the Lord. May we truly prepare the way of the Lord.